Finishing up a series, our psalm series, that we've been looking at over a few weeks. The first in that series was Psalms of Thanksgiving, and so we're looking at the different types of psalms there. Then we went into Psalms of Lament and Psalms of Praise. And one of the things we've been talking about with these psalms is they're echoes of our soul, or they can help represent part of how we feel or experience life and help us through different things of that. But today we're talking about Psalms of Royalty, which might seem a little bit strange because as far as I know, no one here is royal, but I could be wrong. But I'm sure as we go through today, it might be made a little bit clearer that this type of psalm is more to do with our heart attitudes and our view of God in our lives and how he interacts with us. So I would like to start, as we typically do, by reading our psalm, which will be Psalm 144, if you want to open up to it. You're welcome to, whether you got your phone or a physical Bible. So it's Psalm 144, and we'll briefly discuss, stop and discuss a couple of things quickly as we go. Alrighty. So it starts with verse 1, "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me." Sorry. We see David calling out to God, acknowledging his dependence on him for every victory, for his safekeeping and deliverance. We see right from the top, David acknowledged God's place in his life and where he is. We continue on with verse 3. "Lord, what are human beings that you care for them, mere mortals that you think of them? They are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow." David then goes on to acknowledge the short life of people and their lowly state compared to God. He sets up the basis and the emphasis on God's mercy and grace that he is about to call upon. We go on to verse 5. "Part your heavens, Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Send forth lightning and scatter the enemy. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful." David calls on God to act in the now, not just in the end times. David knows that God has an ultimate plan, but he also wants God to act with him now. He calls on God, in fact, to act like he did on Mount Sinai with Moses. And the smoking mountains and things like that, the lightning, they're all references to that. Verse 9 continues, "I'll sing a new song to you, my God. On the 10-string lyre I'll make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David from the deadly sword." It also has there, which I've missed on the slide. verse 11, "Deliver me, rescue me from the hands of foreigners." There we go. "From the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Our barns will be filled with every provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in our field. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There will be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord." David calls for God to give him and his people blessing abundantly. And we know one thing is that he will definitely do this at some point in the future. He'll give untold blessing. But that doesn't mean we aren't to enjoy the now or to receive some of that blessing now. That might look a bit different for us. Calvin once said, "We are to observe this, that while God is giving us meat and drink, admits us to the enjoyment of a certain measure of happiness, it does not follow that those believers are miserable who struggle through life in want and poverty. For this want, whatever it may be, God can counterbalance it by better consolations." In other words, our hearts should be focused on God, Calvin is saying, no matter if we should be content with what we have or if we're struggling through day to day. God can counterbalance all of these. And so David is asking for those types of blessings. They're somewhat more material, but he's asking for a blessing in the now as well. So as we move away from just reading, what do we see in Psalms? There's a few things I want to draw out of it. First is acknowledging the divine royalty. As we open the pages of the first part of Psalm 144, we're immediately drawn into this picture of divine royalty that might resonate with our hearts. Instead of imagining God as a distant deity, as sometimes we might, we can imagine him instead as a warrior king who stands by your side, training your hands for life's battles and your fingers for the wars that you may face, whatever they might be. It's like having the ultimate coach, the one who imparts strength and skill to overcome every challenge, perhaps not in the way you want it to be, but every challenge nonetheless. When the psalmist acknowledges God as his strength, it's an invitation for us to do so also, for us to do as well. To recognize the unwavering power that stands ready to aid us in our every need. In a world that often feels overwhelming, where battles can be physical, emotional, or spiritual, we can find courage in this image of God as our training ground and our fortress, as our stronghold. This betrayal of God's royalty is a reminder that we are not alone. Just as a king would never leave his soldiers defenseless, our God equips us for the journey that we have ahead of us. So, as we journey through life's battles, let us remember that we have a divine king who not only watches over us, but actively prepares us to face whatever comes our way. As we stand in awe of his sovereignty, may our hearts be fortified with the assurance that we are never left alone to fight. First, we stand in awe, and then we are fortified. The second theme in this psalm as well is a God of deliverance. In Psalm 44, there's a vivid picture here of God's role as a deliverer, a rescuer who swoops in when we find ourselves drowning in the troubled waters of adversity. Imagine being caught in a raging river, trying to stay afloat, and then suddenly a powerful hand reaches out, pulling you to safety. That's the kind of deliverance the psalmist speaks of. Not only does God rescue us from the torrents of life, from the torments of sin, but he also frees us from the grip of those who would harm us. If we think about it, have you faced a situation where you felt the odds were stacked against you? No matter what you did, it always felt like a challenge and you were surrounded on all sides. That's when God, our divine deliverer, steps in, if we ask him to. He is like the mighty fortress that shields us from harm's way. This portrayal of God as deliverer is a source of immense comfort, to me personally anyway. With three young children and life in this past 12 months of constant change, knowing that God is my deliverer keeps me sane amongst many other things. It helps my heart and my attitude when I have to deal with people in those harder times when I might not have the right heart and attitude otherwise. Knowing that God is there right beside me, trying to deliver me from everything around me, trying to deliver me from life's waves that try to engulf us, is an immense comfort. We have a God who can part those waters and lead us to safety. And when adversity looms large, we can find peace in the fact that the same God who parted the Red Sea for the Israelites is on our side. So let's trust in his deliverance, knowing that he is the one who can rescue us from the fiercest storm and lead us to the shores of his grace and protection. Another moment that David shares in this psalm is of human frailty and divine sovereignty. And I don't know about you, but maybe you have, particularly in recent years, taken a moment to ponder the brevity of human life, of our lives. The psalmist does this in Psalm 144. He describes our existence as mere breaths, as fleeting shadows that disappear as quickly as they came. It's a humbling thought. In a world that often emphasizes achievements and permanence, often asking how have we left our mark on the world, this reflection on our mortality is like a gentle nudge reminding us of our place in the world, if we think about it, we often can chase after so much in life, striving for success or recognition and happiness. But in the light of eternity, our pursuits sometimes can seem like we're chasing shadows. The psalmist's words help us recalibrate our perspective. They encourage us to pause and recognize the length of our days don't determine our worth, but God does. Instead, it's the way we live those days that truly matter. In the midst of our limited time here, we can find solace in the divine sovereignty of God. Our lives may be a brief moment, but we're held in the hands of a God who exists throughout all of time. Our fleeting shadows find meaning and purpose when they're aligned with the eternal Creator. So I ask that we embrace our mortality as a reminder to live each day with intention, investing our breaths and shadows in pursuits that align with the everlasting reign of our King. Another theme that David brings out is a King who bends low. If we picture a ruler or a king who meets on the street with a commoner and takes time to listen to them, we might think it's a storybook moment. But this is exactly what it's like with God. And this is what Psalm 144 represents. The psalmist captures the essence of God, who's not just seated on a distant throne, but who humbly inches his ear closer to hear our prayer, eagerly awaiting our response. Imagine having a conversation with the Creator of the universe. It's not a one-sided monologue. It's a divine dialogue instead that he's invited us into. God's bending down to hear us is an invitation for us to speak our hearts, our minds, and to pour out our fears, hopes, and dreams to the one who cares deeply for us. It's like a personal audience with the King of Kings where we're not just tolerated but truly heard. This image of a God who bends low challenges society's preconceptions about a distant, unapproachable deity. Instead, we're met with the reality of a loving Father who leans in to understand our every word. It's as if the divine royalty steps off his throne and sits with us eye to eye, heart to heart. So let this image of God's approachability and attentiveness sink in. As we navigate life's twists and turns, we can often forget it. Let's remember that our prayers are heard by a compassionate God who leans in to listen. Our concerns matter to him. Our joys delight him. Our fears move him. May this truth inspire us to cultivate a deep and intimate relationship with God, who not only reigns in majesty, but stoops low to listen. We hear David talk about these blessings, and these blessings are blessings of obedience. In Psalm 144, it highlights the blessings that flow from a life lived in sync with God's ways. It's like receiving a royal favour that goes beyond anything we could ever earn. Imagine your life as a garden. When you tend to it, nurture it, and follow the guidelines of gardening, whatever they may be, because I'm a terrible gardener, what happens? It flourishes, right? That's the essence of the psalmist's message. When we align our lives with God's principles, loving our neighbours, practicing forgiveness, seeking justice, we're sowing seeds of blessing. And they're not just material blessings, though. They encompass a richness of spirit, a peace that transcends circumstance, and a sense of purpose that fills our days. When you treat others with kindness, when you live with integrity, doesn't it create a ripple effect of positivity around you? There's been research by someone I like quite a bit called Vanessa Van Edwards. And she's more of a social scientist than anything, and she likes exploring different impacts on people. And one of her more interesting experiments that I found anyway is that idea of how do you impact those around you, or how do people around you impact you. And what she found was that one person impacts an entire room. So this entire room could be impacted by one person. But the hard part about that is it could be impacted for the negative or for the positive. So how you, your choices matter, is essentially what I'm saying. If you enter into a relationship with people or a community with integrity and kindness, it will create a ripple effect of positivity around you. And research shows it. if you enter into a relationship with others with negativity, it will also create a ripple effect. So this aspect of divine royalty is a reminder that our choices matter. Our obedience to God's ways doesn't just affect us, it influences the world around us. Just as a good king's decision impacts the entire kingdom, our choices resonate in our families, communities, and well beyond. So let's enter that garden of our lives with the wisdom of the kingdom, king's commands. As we live out the principles of love, justice, and compassion, may we experience the blessings that come from that, from aligning our lives with God's purpose and standards. And in doing so, may our lives radiate the beauty of a garden flourishing under the care of a benevolent king. Finally, there's one last thing that David points out, which is the royal promise. Have you ever been given a promise that you knew of without a doubt would be kept? I find it quite rare to be able to be fully sure of people who make promises. Unfortunately, I've let a few people down promising things that I haven't been able to lead up to. Psalm 44 ends on this note of unshakable trust. The psalmist declares his faith in God's sovereignty, not over just a portion, but all of earth, all of his life. It's like saying, I know my king and I trust his reign is unmatched. Think about the promises in your life, the commitments that reassure us and give us hope. Now imagine a promise from the king of all creation. It turns into not just a promise, but a royal decree. When the psalmist proclaims his trust, he's inviting us to embrace the certainty of God's promise. Just as a king's word can be relied upon, God's word and promises are sure and certain. They're not based on circumstances that change like the wind, they're grounded in his unchanging nature. Imagine knowing that the one who created everything has a plan for your life, a plan that is certain, purposeful, and filled with hope. As we journey through life, let's ingrain this truth deep within us. Just as a loyal subject places their confidence in a faithful king, we place our trust in the divine royalty who holds everything together. May our lives be a testament to this unshakable trust as we navigate challenges and triumphs. May we remember the royal promises that guide us, and in every step we take, may our faith be a reflection of the king's steadfast reign over our lives. So, as we meditate on that and the ideas in that, how do these concepts of the divine royalty in our life interact? How do we consider these truths today? So we have trust in God's protection. Just as the psalmist finds strength in God's protection, we too can find comfort in knowing that God watches over us in all of our life's battles. We can embrace God's deliverance. We're reminded that God is a deliverer. We can confidently approach him with our struggles, knowing that he can free us from the hands of our enemies, whatever they may be. Humility and dependence. Reflecting on our frailty reminds us of our need for God, reminds us of our need to be humble. It humbles us and prompts us to rely on his eternal strength. Engaging in prayer. The imagery of God leaning towards us, his ears open to listen, encourages us to cultivate a deep prayer life. Understanding that our King cares about even the smallest details of our lives should encourage you to share them with him. We can walk in obedience. Just as obedience brought blessings to the ancient Israelites, living in accordance with God's ways today leads to a life filled with his favor and goodness. But they're not always material things that we often look for. Sometimes it's a change of attitude and heart. Sometimes it's a feeling of your attitude and heart so you can share it with others. The last thing I want to share with you is that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this divine royalty. Psalm 144 offers a breathtaking glimpse into the attributes of God as a majestic king who provides, protects, and guides his people. But as we look deeper into it, we can't help but recognize how Jesus embodies and fulfills all these roles of divine royalty in our life. His life, death, and resurrection are the ultimate expression of God's sovereignty, deliverance, humility, and blessing. Jesus is a provider and a protector. In the opening lines of Psalm 144, God is depicted as the strength that equips his people for battle. When we look at Jesus, we see this imagery come to life. He not only faced the battles of life himself, but also empowers us to navigate our own challenges. Just as a royal king safeguards his kingdom, Jesus, the King of Kings, protects us from the forces that seek to harm us. Through his teaching and example, he offers us the strength and guidance we need to conquer life's battles. Jesus is a deliverer and rescuer. The image of God rescuing his people from mighty waters and foreign enemies, like in Psalm 144, is a precursor to Jesus' mission on earth. He came to deliver us from the clutches of sin and death, offering us salvation through his sacrificial death and triumphant resurrection. Just as God delivered the Israelites from physical adversity, Jesus delivers us from the spiritual forces that enslave us. He is the ultimate deliverer who sets us free from the bondage of sin and gives us eternal life. Jesus is humble and approachable. Psalm 144 speaks of God bending down towards us. Jesus takes this concept even further. He, the divine king, humbles himself to become human and comes not just to lean down and listen to us. He lives among us. He feels our joys and our pains and walks the same roads that we walk. Jesus' incarnation shows us the profound humility of the divine royalty. He invites us not only to speak to him, but also to experience an intimate relationship with him. In Jesus, we encounter a God who not only bends down to listen, but also stands beside us as a compassionate friend. And finally, we see the blessings and obedience in Jesus too. The blessings of obedience that Psalm 44 portrays finds their fulfillment in the life and teaching of Jesus. His teaching on love, forgiveness, and justice provide us with a blueprint for living a blessed life and for blessing others in our life. Jesus walked in perfect obedience to the Father, and through his obedience, he secured blessings not only for himself, but for us. Through faith in Jesus, we inherit the blessings of righteousness and reconciliation with God. His obedience leads us to live a life filled with the richness of his grace and the guidance of his Spirit. Jesus is that trustworthy promise keeper. As Psalm 144 concludes with a declaration of trust in God's sovereignty, Jesus stands as the ultimate promise keeper. Every promise of God finds its yes and amen in Jesus, as 2 Corinthians says. His life and death and resurrection confirm that God's promises are unwavering and trustworthy. Just as the psalmist's faith in God's reign was unshakable, our faith in Jesus is rooted in the reality of his resurrection and eternal reign. In Jesus, we find the culmination of this divine royalty. He is the embodiment of God's strength, protection, and deliverance, humility, blessings, and trustworthiness. And as I hope, as we reflect on Psalm 44 and its portrayal of God's attributes, may we see how these attributes shine even more brightly in the person of Jesus. He is the true King who reigns over our lives, offering us hope, salvation, and an eternal relationship with the Almighty God. Just as the psalmist found solace in the royal promise of God, may we find unshakable hope and assurance in the life-transforming presence of Jesus Christ. As if you've been here a little while, you might know, I like to end with a challenge. Today's challenge is fairly simple, right? That idea of gardening our life really stood out to me. Obviously, you can take your own challenge as we discover things together, but this should help you. So tend to that garden of life, of obedience to God. This might look different for everyone, so the challenge really is to find out how you need to tend to that garden. As some gardens are very different from others, some need, you know, restoration and rebuilding their supports. Others need better soil. So it's the same for all of us. So find out what that might be. If you truly don't think that you need any tending in your garden, that's okay. Maybe instead choose to listen to God, see what he has to say, by reading God's word, the written down word of God, or by listening to his Spirit. So that's our challenge for the week. Let us end in prayer, and then we're going to have a song of reflection and worship. Dear God, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for writing a book of Psalms that can reflect our life. that we can find ourselves in the midst of these people who were hurting, who were thanking you, who were praising you, and who are unsure at other times, who don't know what is going on. Lord God, I ask that as we turn to you and your word for us, that you'd help encourage us to lean closer to you as you lean closer to us. Lord God, I ask that give us the courage to look at our lives, look at what's going on and see where in our garden there might be some growth potential, some spaces that we might need to grow and tend to so that we can be closer to you. Lord Jesus, I ask that you encourage us and help transform us this week as we move from just a Sunday message, that we move it into our week with you, our walk with you. We ask that your spirit be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So like I said, we're going to have another song of worship and reflection of what we've just talked about. So if you're comfortable standing, I would ask you to stand and